Tuesday afternoon. The sun is shining. Lori and Julie are on the air here on MyTalk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. We're streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. You can also catch us on the MyTalk app. I'm Holly. I'm filling in for Rocco for the next couple of days. Lori and Julia are here to get to all the gossip today.
We are. How about the weather? I mean, it's going to be 50 degrees.
No. This is much needed. Much needed to have an early spring. People will be very grateful, very appreciative. Screw the snow.
Now, when you left, Lori, it was 40 below zero.
Yeah, no.
Okay. When I'm leaving, it's 50 above zero. Yeah. Unseasonably warm, and I'm going to a place that's getting a cold front.
Oh, no, that's so classic for you.
This is the story of my travel life. I have a black weather cloud.
Unless I'm traveling with you.
It's unbelievable. So I'm going to Florida at the end of the week and for the weekend, and it's been...
And I
warm 85 sunny every day. Suddenly I get there and it's going to be 70.
Oh no, Julian.
I know it. But it's just true. I have this thing and it'll be 50 degrees here. Unbelievable.
Which feels very warm. Warmer than 70 does there.
Exactly. 100. 100%.
Yeah, because 70 in Florida feels cold.
Yeah.
Because, you know... Like, Holly, it got cold where you were, I'm assuming, in the desert, you know.
At night.
You just, sometimes people forget about that. Like, in Hawaii, every night, it's like only 62 degrees.
Right.
That feels chilly at night. You need to have a wrap, a fleece.
Mm-hmm. An 85 degree day.
Yeah, but I mean, in the night, at night, you know.
I just started laughing. I'm just
Joy,
like,
you do have the worst weather genie.
I do.
But I know you're going to have fun.
74.
Well, that's not, progressing
that's
in the right direction.
60% chance of storms on Saturday.
Now the weather.
76, and then when I leave, 80, 83, 85.
Okay, but remember this about looking forward for the weather. Because where are you going? What part of Florida?
Like Naples.
Okay, so that is usually the nicest side.
Oh, of course it is.
The nicest side.
But,
but remember that the weather thing, like, if you look at Hawaii and you were going on a vacation there, you would freak the hell out because every day it shows a 20% chance of rain.
Oh, I know, but I live there. I know it always rains.
But that's only because you live there. I mean, so you always have to bear in mind that there's some kind of weather Woody algorithm that's just a little bit more on the buzzkill side.
Okay.
This is my theory
about how those things work. About what chance of showers mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean there's a... This literally, you guys, did you read this in the paper?
No. Okay. How could I miss this one? This sounds like a study of...
Okay, because this just happened. I was going to read it for random, maybe. And I probably have it in my pile somewhere, but there's too much paper there. Okay. So literally, when they say chance of showers at 60%, they mean 60% of the area could have a chance of showers, not that there's a 60% chance
of showers.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes, because that's how
it'll
most people read it.
60% of the area, but we read it completely differently.
That's right.
I don't know. Looking at the weather, Julia, it looks like it's going to be okay.
Yeah, but low 70s. I mean, I'm a, you know, I just...
Not even low 70s. I'm seeing an 80 for you.
Yeah.
Are you? What day?
See, Julia, it depends on your site and everything else. And,
74.
The best chances, 74. Though, of good weather are either Key West or Naples.
Well, of course, Naples is always nice and sunny. Mm-hmm.
Is New Smyrna...
No, that's on the other coast.
It can be windy, but it's not a place you want to go in January or even through mid-February unless you plan on shivering at the beach in 65 degrees.
I can think of some Christmases we spent in Fort Myers where we were in just freezing.
Yeah, I know. It does happen.
Just freezing. But yeah, it does happen. But it just kind of made me laugh because you're like, you go and it's really literally... Sub-zero temps.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Come on, get it.
I know.
Okay, so
you know, we're speaking, I just haven't thought about that area because the husband that I almost stayed married to 100% for property, which I couldn't do in the end, everybody.
This was for
a place. It felt too shallow to stay married for real estate, but yet... One of the real estate.
You thought about it.
Oh, yeah, because Julia, Estero Island condominium.
Oh, remember that? Yes.
Fifth floor corner unit. And the fifth floor was the top floor because Estero Island has at least they did, and I hope they still do, a height thing.
Right.
You know, and Estero Island is like, Holly, the fingertip, the Park Point, if you were.
Oh, it looks quite lovely.
Of Naples.
Mm. Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so yes, of yes. all the, you know, rich, fancy golf people live in Naples, Estero Island was discovered by people who wanted kind of a rustic little piece of Florida that felt kind of, didn't feel golf coursey, didn't right. feel overly swanky. And the thing that you have on Estero Island is you're right on the water.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's a really kind
oh,
of
I've
a...
I've been there many
yeah, yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. It's so yeah. cute. So
by Lover's Key.
So this
Park.
Was
yeah.
the real estate. This and the island on
I get it.
On Burnside Lake up in Ely. I mean...
The reasons to
stay
married.
Highly tempting real estate.
Feel like you made the right choice.
No, I know, but I mean, it's those two kind of have in they had in common with each other. My dear former father-in-law had very good, you know, remote little jewel.
Yeah, he
real
did.
Estate taste.
Yeah, I
for,
love that
for a boy from Winona.
Yeah, I love it. He had some cute real estate taste. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
All right, listen, it's time to go, Julia. And okay. I hope when we come back, you've got a random thought or two for us.
I do hope
okay.
so.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, you guys, I just want to tell you, Lori, how many times, and I remember vividly sitting, my mom sitting at one of the slot machines at McLaren Airport leaving Las Vegas and her not coming on the plane. Do you ever remember
oh,
that story?
Yes, I do.
I was livid with my mom.
Yes, because you were texting me to call your mom to see if she would pick up for me.
Right.
So I could tell you.
Tell her to get on the damn
on the plane.
Our
right.
plane's leaving, Holly, and my mom is gambling. This is you know, stuff. And so it was just, I remember
well, obviously,
yeah,
you don't have to say
she
that.
Got on the plane and I just was furious. Anywho.
Well, she was maybe getting lucky.
Someone did just get lucky yesterday. A tourist waiting for their flight, mm-hmm. you know, out of the B terminal there going on Southwest Airlines flying back to Texas won $302,000.
That's it.
In a slot machine.
I've always
I'm so
felt-
ready to go to Vegas. I miss it.
Yeah.
That's one place I want to go to.
I hope this isn't going to be a reoccurring theme where you say this to me once a week. Because
I am. I've told it to Lori a couple times.
It's your mirage in the desert.
Yeah. There's. You're going to have other fantasies because until...
Do you think?
For me, yeah. I don't want to go back to Vegas until I can see a show.
Either. I know it. I would agree.
That's such a big part of going.
Yeah, it is.
I have to
the
see
experience.
One show.
Yeah, yeah, the experience. Okay. So here's a question for you guys. This is... a multiple choice, okay?
Ready.
What statue of the Little Mermaid is on display
in... Copenhagen.
Oh, you know mm-hmm. that already.
Right,
how did you
garden.
Both know that? Hans Christian Andersen. You both knew it was in Copenhagen?
Well,
yeah.
We've all seen the picture a million times. And
I know, but I didn't know it was Copenhagen. All right, fine. Fine. Way to blow that wad. I didn't even get to answer the multiple choice.
But who's ever, who's been to Tivoli Gardens? Not me.
Not me. Nope.
No. Always
me.
Wanted to, yep. just 100%, because
never been.
I've seen it in the movies.
Right?
We've seen it in stuff, the Christmas markets.
Right. Never been. I would love to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so Holly's posted two really great things to look at today on the Lori and Julia Show page. The first one is A Slice of Hollywood History is for sale. And it is the mansion, the William Randolph Hearst Beverly Hills Mansion, which was featured in The Godfather, The Bodyguard, Beyonce's Black is King, and it's on sale for $119 million. If you want to just get like real estate envy and just go
boner,
look at this, this beautiful mansion right in the middle of Beverly Hills.
So this is, did anyone watch Mank besides
no.
me, M-A-N-K?
No.
No.
Because it's the story of William Randolph Hearst Mankiewicz, the screenwriter who he hires to, you know, do this thing. But the most intoxicating thing in that movie, Manx, was Amanda Seyfried.
Right. And she was nominated.
And she was the mistress of William Randolph Hearst. And he had, like, his real estate is amazing because...
The Hearst Mansion up the coast.
In Santa Monica, yeah. He built that place for Marion Davies that's now like a beach club.
Yeah, yep. It's the Annenberg Beach House.
And beach
there's a restaurant and little things you can sit at.
But he built that. He just like bought that plop of land right smack in the middle of perfect, you know, Santa Monica. Gorgeous. And built her this gigantic cottage. So I can see why she stayed with him.
I can see that too, Lorene.
You know?
Okay. So that's posted. And the other thing now is if you could get a photograph of yourself put on a one-piece bathing suit multiple times over and over, would you walk down the beach with a picture of yourself on your one-piece?
In a hat and sunglasses, I certainly would, mm-hmm. because my face and my bathing suit would be no hat or sunglasses. So who's to know?
Who's to know?
Yeah, it would.
I know you would.
I totally would.
Lori would. We posted Dorit Kemsley from Real House.
It's Dorinda Medley.
Oh, that's Dorinda Medley? She looks like Dorit. Oh, gosh, there is my dyslexia.
They don't look anything alike.
Oh,
look at
my
the photo.
Word. I was looking at an Instagram thing of Dorit today.
It would make sense for Dorit. It would make sense because Dorit has a beach
she
line.
She totally should do that.
But Dorinda, I love it. She's got her Gucci bucket hat on and her sunglasses.
Dorinda.
I bet Dorinda is really... feels like, did she blow it on the house, New York Housewives last year by being such
a crabby Appleton
woman?
And that everyone saw it.
Everyone saw it, and we just couldn't bear it anymore. Plus, then it felt so alcoholic.
So alcoholic. It was so bad.
And so I hope she's doing well.
The best for her, seriously.
Yeah, but she needed a time out, mm-hmm. if nothing else, to get her menopause medication figured out.
I know it. All right, so this is really good news for us women in the great state of Minnesota. 2021's best and worst states for women, a study just came out by Wallet Hub, okay? And March is Women's Month. Mm-hmm. It's International Women's Day is coming up March 6th or 8th.
Women are tired.
Yeah, women have been lost the most jobs during COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, we need our teachers to get inoculated.
But Minnesota is probably a good state
for women. But Minnesota is the best. It's the number one state for women based on 26 different key metrics about earning, prevented health care, homicide rate, you know, all these other things. So that's Minnesota, Maine, Vermont, North Dakota, then Iowa and Wisconsin. And South Dakota are also top 10.
All right.
So we live in a good little community for women.
All right.
So I thought that was a good thing. Does this sound good? A Reese's peanut butter cup without the chocolate?
No.
It's just going to be a peanut butter cup.
No, thank you.
No.
Maybe I'll eat it if somebody put it in my face.
So it would be a peanut butter shell.
Oh, I see.
With a peanut butter cup inside. So there's no chocolate shell. It would just be a hard peanut butter shell and then stuffed with peanut butter.
Why don't they just reverse it and have a hard chocolate shell do the reverse if they're looking to do that?
Someone just wants peanut butter. There's a request from the top. Lori, that's from the top down.
Is it really? I'm very suspicious of this whole story.
It's Mr. Reese.
I'm wondering.
Mrs. Reese.
I'm wondering how much dyslexia is involved in this story and what the story really is. If we're going to find out that you just told us that all
wrong. Did Dorit eat peanut butter with Dorinda?
Right. I'm like, Dorit, that's so obviously Dorinda.
I did look at it. It doesn't look like her at all.
I wonder how much it costs to custom. Like, if there's someplace you can just go on the Google and find out how can I customize a swimsuit with my face on. It's probably pretty easy.
I'm sure you can because you could get T-shirts and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of a future birthday present for Lori.
Are you?
Now I finally know.
I love a good, like, just nice
a custom one piece.
Yeah, I do. I do like a one piece.
All right,
it's good to have a one piece in the world. Wardrobe
swimsuit.
I love a one piece.
Yeah, I do too. Oh man, I had a monokini.
Oh,
I wish I had a picture of me in it. I looked so great. It was like a green and black, but a good green, like seafoam green.
A beach green.
A monokini.
A beach green. We got to give a shout out to a local cookie company that has pivoted and done so well. It's called Hello Cookie.
Hello Cookie.
Hello
That's
Cookie.
So cute.
Pat Wright. Has managed to blossom and cook more and figure out she already had a great cookie business delivering cookies to businesses and they were sold in Skyways. But when COVID hit, they kind of stopped. But she has worked really hard and figured out how to get cookies that could be shipped be saved, be individual servings. And
like
she's got
the size.
Big customers. So if you are looking to give someone a really fun present to caregivers, first responders, thank your teachers. Give it to nursing homes.
I'm holding the ginger. Okay, it's
so good.
Soft. And here are the ingredients. Flour, sugar, butter, molasses, egg, cinnamon, ginger, baking soda, salt.
Perfect.
The real stuff.
The real stuff.
I can't wait to taste when they're individually wrapped. So if you want to give HelloCookie.com, give a Minnesota company some business.
HelloCookie.com.
Oh, you're right, Lori. Oh, for crying out loud.
I just want to Dorinda.
I only have in one contact today. This
okay,
is really
that's
what's
why
happening.
You're skipping every other word.
Do you just have to close the one eye that doesn't have the contact in it?
Monocle. It's my monocle. Yeah. I've been threatening to wear it, but I wore it in the form of a contact and only wore one. Yeah. I am really.
HeyHelloCookie.com.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Just because you did a nice job of plugging them. Let's not blow it at the end.
No, let's not. Let's try not to. And then Seth Rogen has his house plant. His brand of weed is coming out.
Is that what it's called? Houseplant?
It's called Houseplant.
Oh, that's hysterical. What a great name.
It's going to be available in California next week. And I'm just going to tell you this. I've designed it. I've smoked it. I've researched it. It's better than anything ever, ever, ever. So if anyone's going to California.
I do think of him as the stoner of that generation, that age or
100%.
Whatever.
100%. Yeah. And I bet it's good.
Yeah.
For those who.
But I also would very much trust anything the Bob Marley family is selling me or Willie Nelson.
There you go.
I've got a few people I would trust in that department.
There you go. All right. We're coming back with, oh gosh. What are we going to do with that show? We'll discuss when we come back.
Gosh, now that is a very welcome. We got some new songs in the flashbacks.
That brings me
back to the first year on the air, Julia. I feel like that was 2002, 3.
A little later than that.
Was it? Yeah. All right. Maybe it was summer of 2007. All I know is it was the song of the summer.
2006.
This was a big one for us.
Oh, just, we loved it.
We'd come
on the air and we'd just be like, yes. We were so happy that we were playing cool songs.
Oh, I know.
You know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so The Bachelor, Women Tell All happened last night. ABC was sure to put up a big disclaimer. This was filmed on February 4th, 2021.
Prior to the host, Chris Harrison's temporarily stepping away from the show.
I don't know if he's going to come back, because even last night, he was just like, some of that did not age well in just the 2 weeks. It was, as far as a woman tells all, Julia, well, first of all, did you watch it?
I did.
Okay. Holly, I know you didn't watch it.
I did not.
Yeah. It was so yawn-inducingly boring.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you said, did you watch it all? I'm just going to say, until I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I have a disclaimer. It was boring.
We didn't learn anything new. We don't know anything more about Matt. We don't know anything more about the women. There's nothing there. And that is not the fault of anyone who's on the show. The drama outside of the show is bigger than the show. And when Matt came out in his beard, I still am going to maintain that is I am single beard.
Yeah.
Okay, and all the ladies tried to pretend that was their first good fakery. They want to be actresses because Chris Harrison, what do you ladies give it? And they were like, tens. I'm like,
give what?
His beard.
Oh, liars.
He's a really handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
That beard just looks like a beard you would grow if you'd, you know, like been on a trek or you like were on a safari, like you were doing something, no shaving, like one of those guy beards.
No shave
that they
November
grow.
For yeah, prostate whatever. Cancer or something. Yeah.
To me, he's just so cute. And anyway, whatever. But the thing that Queen Victoria said sorry, but she didn't apologize.
Nope.
She's just like, has learned nothing.
Here's what I will say, just in stepping back, I feel like it was a good opportunity for people who were bad to get a chance to apologize.
Like that blonde from Minnesota, yes. Allie. Said, I heard you were an escort or whatever.
Yeah, she felt bad.
Yeah, she did.
And
well,
Anna.
She, I believe her.
Horrible. And so I was glad that they had that redemption chance, you know, but that.
But I already thought it was so awful that the producers of the show were encouraging her to keep making that proclamation. The show promoted it.
Yep.
And now they're all, you know, whatever, when all this stuff. But the biggest thing, the best thing about last night, which I noticed right away, is that they did a montage. I loved the whole shadiness of this. They did a montage of Matt kissing all the women.
Yep.
And he had the weird, he kisses with his eyes open.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh.
And then Chris Harrison, almost with glee, said, did any of you ladies want, because, yep. I mean, they were cringing.
Yeah, they were.
Matt had his hands in his face. His hands in his face to watch that. And so one of the gals said, well, yeah, I did open my eyes one time. And I was like, woo, just a little bit. And Chris said, who here thinks you shouldn't do that? Every woman said, no, your eyes are closed. And he confessed that he never realized he did that.
No, right. Right. But that is a really, but how would you know? Because whenever you kiss them,
kind of creepy.
Think of kissing anybody. You always kiss with your eyes closed. I would never even look.
It's almost an automatic.
It's like putting on mascara. We open up our eyes bigger. When you kiss, you shut your eyes.
It's an instinctive thing.
You shut your eyes when you kiss.
Right, because nobody wants to look at another eyeball up that close.
No, but you wouldn't even know if the person you were kissing had his eyes open. How would you ever know that?
Right, but you can feel when someone's staring at you, because this is a random fact. If you were sleeping, try this as a sociological
experiment.
If you've got kids that are the right age or partner, you go up to somebody and you just stare at them. That person will wake up because your subconscious mind.
I used to do this over my babies all the time and they didn't wake up, but all right. But okay, I never did it over an adult.
With an adult, like somebody, you'll wake somebody up.
Right. I used to put my finger in their nose and make sure they're breathing.
Yes, of course. I guess I get that. I mean, when I babysat, I know I was always nervous a baby would die on me. I was always running and checking on them. No, I hated babysitting.
We know.
So much.
This was a sign.
That was one of the reasons. I couldn't handle it. My mom was always making me babysit for other poor Air Force people.
You had a brother that you had to watch over. That would have been horrible.
My brother was kind of, I actually liked him.
Did you?
Yeah, because we could dress him up. He was like our baby doll. Are you kidding me?
How many years younger is Larry?
11 years younger. But
can you imagine?
When I was like 11 and 12, right. I didn't really care to babysit. I babysat infants. This is relaxed 70s, and people are, you know, not.
You didn't have to take babysitting camp and learn how to babysit an egg first.
No, it was another person who lived, you know, on base in the duplex two doors down that was my mom and dad's friend, and they were going to go out dancing, and I was going to get paid nothing. You know, to watch this little baby and have to clean the kitchen. And there's no TV, just dark. Or the Whistler. Something on Armed Forces Radio to scare me.
You're so funny. All right, back to The Bachelor.
Back to The Bachelor.
So what did he say?
He said, he goes, that was really creepy. He was mortified. He didn't realize he did that. Which, that's strange, but, you know, okay. Maybe it's because he's tall.
Well, when you're kissing, your faces are still, your lips match up. It doesn't matter how tall you are, Lori.
I don't know.
That's a really good blonde moment.
I know. Well, I was just.
That's a good blonde moment.
I was just thinking about something I learned about tall, like giraffes. They have some kind of like, they always have to sleep with one eye open or something because they're so tall they can be vulnerable. They can't sit down. I don't know. I was just trying to relate, you know.
Yeah,
something to but something. But yeah, he just said he didn't. He said it's kind of, he hopes to keep his peepers shut from now on. But
yeah, well,
that was super shady of the Bachelor producers to do that, cut. And then we also saw in the blooper where Matt said, I'm going to need a robe before I get out of bed. He'd been cozying up to Serena before she dumped him. Anyway,
what do you think? I just think this season just needs to be done.
Well, no, I'm looking forward to the fantasy boner suites, you know, which is going to happen. And it looks like he makes out with all of them. Like, you know, they all spend the night.
How did they position that, though, the night?
Did you use position deliberately?
Yeah, they said something about the fantasy suites because it was on GMA this morning. They talked about next week's disastrous or eye-opening fantasy suite visits, and George Snuffleupagus is just like, oh.
Well, because the teaser they showed was Karen, the gal from Minnesota, the school teacher.
It's not Karen.
Or whatever Michelle. Her name is, Michelle.
Karen's cousin.
Yeah, no, because she's not a Michelle at all. But they were in a mud bath, and they were just go back and forth rubbing mud on each other's arms and thighs in candlelight. Oh. And then there was another totally nude. They showed his chest like 3 out of 4 scenes. Yeah. So, maybe the last 2 episodes are really, really going to be good. But Matt, you know, he did say it has been hard to watch his season back with everything that's gone on. I mean, Rachel Lindsay, who was the first Black Bachelorette, she's an extra. She's the one who's a lawyer. And all these Chris Harrison people think that Chris Harrison is getting let go because of her, and she's had to disable all of her comments, and people are just being awful. And I was so infuriated before I left for Hawaii about his mansplaining, where he's interviewed on Extra by Rachel, who's was a bachelorette, you know, was on the show. Really a great season. She was a great bachelorette. I mean, she's got a job on Extra. This is what they all want to get to.
Exactly.
You know, if it's an aspirational thing, be on an entertainment show. And she brings a great perspective because she's a lawyer. And when Rachel was asking Chris, well, this is just problematic that this Rachel Kirkconnell was at this antebellum party with all this Confederate stuff and in these outfits just in 2018. And Chris basically leaned back and did the equivalent of crossing his leg and putting his hands behind his back. A little lady. I mean, he didn't do exactly that, but he was like, how was that anyway? What is the lens of 2018 versus 2021? And she's like, well, if I was at that party, what would I be at that party? And then he tried to again say to her that, you know, did some kind of, it was. And every woman, and then if we're not even Black women, but we've all been talked to that way and dismissed and whatever. So it's Chris Harrison that's done this to himself. It's not Rachel.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Chris Harrison ought to say something. Right. If I was his publicist, I would be all over his, you know what, to be doing, saying something more. She's had like death threats.
No, I agree with you, Lori. You guys. 100%. It's terrible.
Yeah, you know, and so people are really, you know, just a-holes to the bitter end, I guess. That's what we know about that. But she's really good, and she was on Extra last night, and she's just excellent on that show. But, I mean, she's really taking
A lot of heat for
Chris Harrison's own words. It's so maddening. I remember when I was like 32 and I was in national sales for this company, and I was like recruited, you know, come and work, and it was at Carlson Company, my boss, and I had sales goals. I had numbers that I had to meet. Julia, I don't know if, you know, you want to.
Yeah, I know you had numbers you had to meet.
Yeah, so meeting these numbers, and at my review, I remember he basically rolled back in his chair, put his hands behind his back, and said to me, well, you know, you're doing a pretty good job, but I don't really know what you do. And I mean, I just saw red. I was so...
That's not my problem, that's yours. Thought,
would he say this to a guy my age right now who's like at, I was like 32% over this, you know, I was all da, 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 da. And I just leaned in closer to him, and I just looked at him and I said, well, that says more about you
than it does about me.
100%. And he was absolutely, he was stunned that I said something. That. And I don't know how I thought to say something that calm, that whatever. But I just, that was like really the first time that I had a good job with a title, director of, you know, whatever. And, you know, I had a secretary for God's sakes, you know, and that he said, or maybe you call him admin assistant, we call him secretary. But I was really livid that he would say that to me, because I know he wouldn't have said that to a guy. He would have been glad handing him and saying, when are we going to go out for drinks and celebrate? You're doing amazing numbers, you know, or a constructive anything. Thing, right. anything right. at all. Right. So, anyway, all right, listen, we got to go because it's time to Hollywood Speak. We got a juicy, juicy story to Hollywood Speak.
So, what are you trying to say?
Hollywood! Hollywood Speaking!
What is the meaning of this?
I would like to just say that the executive producers of The Bachelor did release a statement last night. We would like to make it perfectly clear that any harassment directed towards Rachel Lindsay in the aftermath of her interview with Chris Harrison is completely inexcusable. She's received an unimaginable amount of hate, has been subjected to severe online bullying, which more often than not has been rooted in racism. So you know what that means. And, you know, a lot of Bachelor and Bachelorette people that have influence have spoken up about it, but she's had to deactivate all of her accounts.
That's unbelievable that people are harassing her.
Chris Harrison, yeah. He should say something.
Yes.
He could stop it by not saying that's all I'm saying. I'm glad that the producers, you know, have done that. But I mean, maybe this is just what it needs to, you know, just. She's going to be fine.
Of course
she's a strong woman. And I'm excited for Emmanuel to do the, after the final rose.
The social media harassment has got to stop.
But it's always the people who are calling out the harasser that get harassed.
It's
not the person that's
100%
dirty.
Ridiculous.
Right. So I just, if I were Chris Harrison, but you know, he probably, it never even occurred to him. This is what is maddening about it. He did, when you're in it like that, you don't even like realize that you're doing it.
He's so far in his cape
of privilege that he has that like he really.
I'm glad that The Bachelor put out a message because that's just wrong on so many levels. Okay, what are you excited about?
Okay,
me
so
Hollywood
the thing
Speak?
I want to tell you about. So here's the juicy, juicy story. So George Stephanopoulos has been at ABC since 1997, and he was Bill Clinton's chief of staff.
Yes, he was.
And so, you know, people, you know, like that Kayleigh McEnany, who was. Trump's.
Yeah,
she's going
to
Fox News. This is a thing
this
that does happen.
There's
a tradition of this happening. So, anyways, but he has been at ABC
24 years,
and he's been the chief anchor.
Yep.
Since 2014,
which means breaking news stories, he's the lead.
Yes.
Politics night, he's the lead.
Yes.
Any major event, he's the lead.
And earlier this year, David Muir. My boyfriend and many other people's boyfriend.
And the host of the ABC Nightly News at 5:30.
That's what I mean.
The national news.
Yeah, he was given, I meant to say the Nightly News boyfriend of many people.
Okay.
He was given the chief anchor responsibility of leading special coverage, but he didn't get the title because George has the title. And George's contract is like up. At the end of the year or something like that. Or it was going to be up at the end of 2020. So, David Muir, signed this as part of his contract. And, of course, people keep their contracts. People don't share this. The talent doesn't share what they get. And he was told by the suits at ABC, you can't let anyone know this until... You know, George Stephanopoulos, you know, his contract and everything, because George makes $15 million a year. That's what the morning show gets you.
David Muir
makes about $5 million. David Muir. And
the hours are different.
And Matt Lauer didn't even have chief anchor, and he was getting $20 million. I'm telling you, NBC is the freest with their money. Anyway, George Stephanopoulos.
I give you the 2021 Golden Globes, but we digress.
Oh, we digress. Uh-huh. And, But anyway, Stephanopoulos, somehow, you know how walls talk. People find out things.
Absolutely.
You know, people find out things.
Yeah, you can't keep
George
this kind of a secret.
George finds out about David Muir.
That David Muir's been promoted to lead anchor.
Well, Julia, do you believe this? He apparently was going to quit ABC, and the tantrum was so real that Bob Iger got on a plane in LA and flew to New York to convince George. This is what George got. He's going to produce content for Hulu and National Geographic, which Disney ABC owns.
Yep.
And he's got his own production company, which I'm sure Allie will run. Right. Allie Wentworth, she's very talented. And ABC staffers had this to say, this is what I want you to Hollywood speak, that George and his pathetic power struggle needs a reality check. Sounds like people are mad he got what he got by throwing a tantrum.
Well, first of all, you don't negotiate with the other guy until you negotiate with the first guy. Because it's always going to be fine. If they're giving David Muir this stuff, they already need to have had the conversation with George that you were taking it away from you. Because everyone's going to always find out everything. I feel like that. George, I like him so much.
But George didn't know until this.
Well,
they hadn't talked to him about this.
Well, no, I know. That's where they went wrong.
Yeah.
You do it up front. People are so...
What, Julia?
I'm kind of excited.
Sensitive?
Well, I'm excited for the production company because his wife, Allie, does such good stuff. He won.
Yeah.
George won.
George won. Holly,
George won.
You agree?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
George won big time. And if you throw big enough a stink and you're big enough a person and you don't have sexual harassment or you don't have any other harassment things
you
around
yourself.
You don't have any
skeletons in your
and you haven't, you know, been
take
horrible,
advantage.
That's what I say.
Well, he did. Let David Muir have the chief anchor.
No kidding.
Title. You know, that worked out for George.
Yep.
I think the ABC staffers that might have gone, you know, off the record and called him pathetic and that he needs a reality check. I would say that, yes, it probably, I think of watching the morning show, it probably is sometimes like it's such a clear divide between people getting paid $15 million a year and then people who are working their butts off, maybe working 50, 55 hours, you know, and making, you know, $42,000 a year or whatever it is. That's
right.
People become bitter buddies. And bitter Eddies.
And bitter Betties sometimes. And Eddies talk.
Yeah.
There you go. George won. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And I got to say that the best new skit on SNL is the Dionne Warwick talk show. Dionne, they've done
that
a few weeks in a row.
Yeah,
it's very good.
It is good.
We'll swing it over to you, Holly. See what's happening.